the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or Brant's book, Unoffendable, go to BrantHanson.com.
Don't know if you've seen this before. Mr. Rogers said something about tragedies and stuff that happens in the news if you got little kids. And here's what he said. He said, "I was spared from any great disasters when I was little, but there was plenty of them in the newspapers and on the radio, and there were graphic images of them in newsreels. For me, as for all children, the world could have come to seem a scary place to live, but I felt secure with my parents, and they let me know that we were safely together whenever I showed concern about accounts of alarming events in the world. There was something else my mother did that I've always remembered. She said, always look for the helpers. There's always someone who's trying to help. So I did, and I came to see that the world is full of doctors and nurses, police and firemen, volunteers, neighbors, and friends who are ready to jump in to help when things go wrong." That's from Fred Rogers. So true. Look at the accounts. If you haven't read many of them, they're amazing. Of the people who sacrificed themselves in Las Vegas to cover, literally cover other people.
I saw a zipper merge accident on the way to work today. Wanted to get your take on it.
Is everybody okay?
Everyone's okay. There was no one injured, but...
Wait a second.
What?
So, do you think the accident was caused by zipper merging?
Well, here's what I will tell you. Someone was using all the available pavement, as you told them to do, and then they merge over.
Uh-huh.
Well, the person wasn't willing to let them merge over, and they merged anyway. They took it anyway.
The proper way to sum that up would be a refusal to zipper merge accident.
Yes, that...
Not a zipper merge
is that
accident.
Oh, that's the technical term for it.
Yeah, that's what we call it in the zipper merge community. You guys, let's just...
And
do
who's at fault?
It depends on who's... Well, you alternate. That's the zipper thing.
Yes, yes.
Alternate, so it's a turn thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to understand that.
Okay.
And then give it to... But the brilliance behind the zipper merge is that you continue at... Basically, you flow.
Right.
It's a flow thing. So
but someone was trying to flow, and someone didn't want them to flow in front of
someone
them.
Someone didn't want to flow.
Yeah.
And see what happens. And now nobody... See?
It's a refusal to zipper merge.
It makes my point. Took a little chance the other night. You'd be proud of me.
Okay.
There's a group of people after a marriage conference thing I was speaking at.
Mm-hmm.
And all the organizers and everything want to go out to dinner.
Did you direct them to Panera?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
I thought maybe I should just go because I like to eat the same thing every day.
Yeah.
You know, just me and my wife could go somewhere or I could just grab something myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, no, I need to socialize. Sherry tells me that. My wife tells me that.
Very
go
good.
Go with the group.
Good.
And I got food poisoning, and I haven't eaten in the last 3 days. For 3 days. I've lost 10 pounds.
Are you blaming this?
This was Saturday night.
You're blaming this on socializing.
Yep. That's the lesson. You take a risk. Don't
put
socialize.
Put yourself out there.
Don't put yourself out there. Don't socialize. Don't know if this happens to you if you're married or anything, but I have people like, and they don't necessarily say it out loud, but I know what they're thinking. How did you find a woman who would marry you? And so,
well, it may not be that. It's just you yourself have said you're extremely introverted.
Yeah.
Right. And shy.
Odd, a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
And, well,
don't know how to talk to ladies.
Yeah. So then it's how were you able to? And well, your wife is wonderful.
She is. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes. She's wonderful.
Well, I answered that question in picture form. If you'd like to know, and guys, this is a good tip for you. How do I land a good woman?
Whoa. That picture that you put on Facebook?
Yeah, it's on Facebook. If you look at it,
You'll
see how it happened. It's a picture of me and my wife after I told her I loved her. And she said, because it was kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I said, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, thanks. Because we were just friends.
Yeah.
And then...
You said it wearing what you have on in that picture?
I wore that kind of stuff frequently.
Okay.
It might be, it is about the clothes, but also the look that I'm wearing. You need to see the photo. Anyway,
yeah,
it's at Brant Hanson page on Facebook, and you'll see my wife and I when I think I was 18 or 19.
I think it's a wonderful, beautiful picture of what God can do in spite of.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That's very kind. I don't really want to think about really what you just said. No, I don't want to unpack it. It's like it's a beautiful picture in spite of what God can do. Anyway, it's at facebook.com. If you go to Brant Hanson page, you'll see it. It's beautiful.
That Facebook picture that you posted of you and your wife when you were like 18.
Yeah.
And you said to me off the air, she made herself a husband.
Yeah.
Because you look like a little kid in that picture.
Yeah.
And
yeah. She thinks, okay, please understand. Oh, man. How do I say this?
It's okay.
Please understand.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's true or not doesn't matter because she thinks this.
Okay.
But she thinks I'm more attractive as time has gone on. Like, I just keep getting more. She thinks that.
Okay.
Okay. So whether or not that's true doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
My wife thinks it's true.
Okay.
All right. But to the extent that that has happened, it's her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's built me up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think. And I read this years ago. There's a book called Letters to Philip, and it was to guys, but it was from a guy to his son about getting married.
Oh, okay.
And
he
talked about how you kind of take responsibility to some extent for your spouse through encouragement.
Okay.
And you can mold this person over time.
Okay.
And I know that's not true 100% of the time, but she's been so encouraging to me. And told me from the outset. Now, you can look at that picture and go, I don't see what she saw. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't either. But she has told me over the years, like, no, you know, you've got a lot of, you're good at this, you're good at that, you're handsome, people respect you, all that sort of stuff. She has said that over and over. She still says that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that has helped me. Well, to whatever extent that I am whatever I am, I wouldn't be halfway there. Does that make sense?
It does. That's what I was wondering when you say she made herself a husband.
Yeah.
Through encouragement, she built you up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she saw some rough material there, and it's still rough. Don't get me wrong, but I think it's really true. Like, I know I wouldn't even have the temerity, the audacity to talk on the radio without her. I wouldn't. Mm. Some people say, I love you, and it's just really simple for them to do it. Others of us, man, it's a struggle, and I don't fully know why, but it is. Anthony on Facebook heard us talking about this, and he said it's important for the people who do struggle, like me, to realize that the people who do say it all the time are not being flippant about it. It's not, they're not just throwing words out. I think it's a great point. Like your mom, Sherry.
Yeah, it means something each and every time something.
She's not saying it just to fill the air.
No, not she just means like, it.
Yeah, not just words. And I think that's totally true. And he was saying they almost can't imagine them not saying it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's one of those people.
Yeah.
Like I have to because I want you to understand this is life together. And I thought that was a great point. People aren't just throwing away their words. You know, the very fact that we have music and that it means so much to humans in every culture. Think about that. Every culture enjoys music at some level. It's incredibly meaningful to them. Like the music you hear on this radio station, hopefully you love it. And how amazing is that? God didn't have to do that. He didn't have to create it so that, you know, sound waves would elicit so much emotion from us. He apparently really likes us and loves us and made us to enjoy this. And he enjoys us enjoying it too. I read this guy saying that he actually thinks in heaven, we'll speak music. And that's the way that we'll all be able to instantly understand each other. Like we can't even conceive what heaven's going to be like. But I liked that image, especially since we've already seen this glimpse of this crosses borders and people, it resonates with people. Like what if we spoke the most beautiful music to each other? So spoke at this marriage thing over the weekend, whether you're married or not, you might find this interesting. I don't know. But one thing we hit on, and there was universally when my wife and I were talking to people, we've never done anything like this before.
Mm-hmm.
We've never done that.
Okay. Not together as a couple.
No, I've never talked about marriage like as a marriage thing.
Okay. Good.
Totally new to us.
Okay.
But we were just trying to be honest. And so one thing we brought up and everybody went, and they all started talking immediately, it was driving. It just seemed like that's the most focused time of...
Conflict. Huh.
Everybody. I just described how for us there was a little struggle. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have an... I haven't had an accident in 25 years, but I'm going to have one when she goes, when I'm driving. That's going to be it. It's going to be as a result of that.
Of her shock, yeah.
And so, but that got everybody And I was doing this in a way like most of the problems are mine, but I didn't mention that.
Right.
And then it's erupted. Like, and I mentioned this to say, if you are married, and that is the case for you, please understand that's what's going on in so many other cars.
That's why I think things like that are important, because you think it's only you.
Yes.
Until someone brings it up and you're like, okay, well, we're not abnormal.
Totally. Okay. And so shift that. My wife also talked about trust. Mm-hmm. And how we can even be married for a long time and she still deep down is wondering, is he going to stick around? Is he going to love me? Mm. And that started discussions, and we heard all that. We broke him into small groups and just went around and heard all this. And everybody was struggling with that.
Yeah.
And again, nobody talks about it. So it was very freeing, I think, for everybody there to go, okay, me too, me too. And to hear other people say it, like, wow, it's like popping this balloon of pressure to go, yeah, that's us too. And how do we deal with this? So imagine you go through some kind of big tragedy and someone wants to sit down with you and talk to you. And let's say they sit down and they start offering the answers. Well, here's why this happened. And this is the reason it happened. There you go. I answered all your questions. You really want that? Nobody wants that.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. What you would probably like, maybe you've been through this and you know what I'm talking about, someone to sit down, maybe not say much of anything, but especially if they've gone through something like that themselves and they know, and you know they know, and they're sitting next to you and maybe crying with you. This is what we get in the Bible in our picture of God. It's the second person, not the first. A lot of people would like the Bible to just simply answer every single question. Every single question is answered simply. It's like a math book. That's not what we get. We get better. We get a person, and we get a God who says he stores our tears in a bottle. And not only that, he knows loss. He went through it himself. He knows injustice. He went through it himself. He knows pain. He went through it himself. And instead of just going, well, here's why, he endured it. He knows. And we know how he feels about it. And his heart is broken too. This is the picture that we get in the Bible. It's of that second person that sits with you and cries with you.
He enters into it.
Enters into, runs to it. Not away, runs to it. So we mentioned we spoke at this marriage conference thing over the weekend.
You and your wife, not me.
Yeah, that's right. Me and my wife.
No one wants to hear from me.
Nobody cares about Sherry's opinion about marriage. Do they have a singles conference?
Oh, goodness, yes.
Why?
I just want
to replay those two words because there's so much emotion packed into that. Do they?
Oh,
they
goodness.
Have a singles conference like
they
just
did.
For ladies
well,
or men
you
and
went,
women?
You did the
I did. I spoke
yeah.
at one.
There, it, yes, and there, man, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. That's not to say, and I would speak it, and I have spoke at them.
Okay, well, the Boundless one, I guess I didn't remember it as a singles conference.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah, Boundless is a ministry for single people.
Yes, yeah.
Younger.
I shouldn't say I'm not a fan. I'm sorry. I've spoke at them, quite a few of them. I've done, like, discussions, so there's a panel, and then there's an audience. And I just think in the past, myself included, there just hasn't been enough focus on Jesus.
Huh.
It's just been, we've really taken, we don't think we are because we're in a church. We don't think we are because it's a Christian conference. But that we have taken the world's view of sexuality and the world's view of life isn't worth living without it. And then we've made a conference out of that, and we just slap marriage on it, and that makes it Christian, or we, you know. There just hasn't been enough focus on Jesus. And that's, I mean, I've spoken at them in the past, and I don't think I focused enough on Jesus.
So let's unpack that a little bit. That's interesting. So we're kind of saying, I'm guessing what you're saying is, like, that your identity is really wrapped up in sexuality.
Yes.
Whether it's practicing it or not practicing it,
yes.
That's still your identity. That's
right.
Who you are,
right.
Is your sexual desires and how that gets worked out.
Yes, that's right. And I think that's the idol of our culture. We've talked about that before.
Totally.
And I think it's an idol in the church, and we just, you know, we name it something else, but it's still there. So That's why that was the response to this singles thing is that
No, it just made me think of something in college. I lived with some Christian guys in college. Of course, it's all across the board, right? In terms of maturity and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if I don't sound normal. Kind of.
Still fighting the poisoning.
Something. but there were dudes, I'm like, it dawned on me, like, is this better? Or I don't know. Like in a frat house, you have a certain discussion about sex and it's going to be this way.
Right.
Gonna be this kind of discussion. Well, in our house, I remember specifically sitting around with some guys, and one guy's like, "Yeah, well, after I get married, I'm gonna this and that." So it was all like, "Well, after I get married," and then Well, is that?
That's my exact point. Is the idol was still there? We just masked it as a different thing. So.
Yeah, and then also again that this is your source of significance. Like once you've bought into that, then everything gets defined by that.
That is absolutely. And I'm not saying all singles conferences. I got to be clear now. I'm just saying in my mind that's how they've gone in the past where I've been at them or I've even spoken at them. And if I could go back, like. And redo the way I've talked about it based on where I am now in life and where I was then. I was nowhere near qualified to talk about it then. I think I am more now, and I change a lot.
Yeah, so makes sense. I did a breakaway group for guys. They made one workshop for guys only, and I didn't
know. At this past conference or Boundless?
The one thing I did over the weekend.
Oh, okay,
so
yeah,
it's married.
Yeah. Married guys, okay.
But I didn't know what to talk about. So what I did was I even advertised. It probably sounded a little cocky when I was advertising it. But it's like the one thing I did right that most guys don't choose right or something. I can't remember what it was.
That's a good way to get guys there.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Like the one decision I made. Most guys don't do this. I did it and it was smart. And I tried to, I prefaced it with all my stories about, you know, ruining the car twice by putting the wrong gas in, not knowing how to do guys. But I got this one right thing. I can't do a lot of guy stuff, a failure at this and that and the other thing. But one thing I did right. And I told him about, you know, if you know our story at all, you might know a little bit of this, but about how I kind of took my lumps in terms of my personal significance in order to free up time for my family. And that meant quitting a job that I was kind of a big deal in a small pond. I mean, at the time, there were entire, in the local paper, an entire page would just have my face on it. A whole poster size. It's like the face of radio or whatever. And, they had these things over and over. So people knew who I was, and that was cool. And I thought about going to law school, and I took the test and everything, and I'm very happy to tell people how well I did on the test.
And we're happy to hear it.
That's true. Always have to slip that in that I finished with a 170 on my LSAT, which is pretty good.
Very nice.
Yeah. And was going to go do that, and then decided, no, I need – this has to be kids time. I got kids. And that life happens in seasons. And I killed the significance thing. And I wound up taking a, you know, a really seemingly menial job several rungs down the ladder. But I didn't have the stress. And I didn't have the, it didn't make much money.
But you had the time for your family.
Tons of time.
Yeah.
And so I would come home every day. And I'd work from like 5 a.m. to noon or so. And every afternoon for years was with my kids, swimming, playing, goofing off, going to the beach, going to the pool, walking here, catching lizards, doing stuff, playing games, collecting turtles, you know, whatever we could do. And we just wasted a lot of time together. And I was like, I did something right. That was the right thing, exactly the right thing. And what I've seen, interestingly, too, is how God restored the stuff that I thought I wanted, like to be able to make enough money. You know, what am I doing? I'm making, you know, a fourth of what I could make if I did this or that. And we're fine. And I even told a story about how I prayed for a car one day, and God gave me a car before the day was over. It was specifically... it's such a strange story. It's hard to tell without a lot of backstory, but it's just like he met all of our needs in ways that I wouldn't have predicted, couldn't have guessed. And I never could get that time back. So if I had missed that, I would be regretting it every second. So I'm trying to talk to guys who got young kids or going to have kids. Like, guys, seasons. There are seasons in life. Same thing goes for women, too. It's like, well, I'm going to be the Proverbs 31 woman. I'm going to do this and that. And the other thing, well, Proverbs 31 has this whole list of things women need to be doing. But I've heard some scholars say, like, that's over the course of a woman's life.
Yeah.
You can't do everything at once. And why do you think you need to? Everything?
Well, that's kind of foisted on you.
It is.
If you're not that, then you're not doing anything, really. It's you can be guilted into thinking you're supposed to be all those things.
Big, fat lie, but nobody ever says it. In fact, the church, unfortunately, church culture comes along and adds more stuff on there.
Yeah,
you need to be doing this, that, the other thing, and you need to look good too. And so you got to make sure your fitness and, you know, this regimen and the nutrition and your kids and the homeschool and then the other thing. And then you also got to, you know, help out in the nursery twice a week and do the other thing.
It's like, just teaching small group and that. Yeah.
Just presume you're doing all of that stuff. And meanwhile, like, it's not that other people don't matter. Your neighbors matter. Other people matter. Clearly they do. I know. But this doesn't last that long. This stage of life, you do not get it back. You don't get it back. And so I was trying to tell them, like, okay, so this is the one. That was a smart move. That was a wise move. And I told them, and I'll tell you as you're listening, like, in case you need the reminder, pray for wisdom. Because wisdom will spare you from pain. In this case, that was a wise move. Thank the Lord. And as a result, I regret things. I can roil with regret. That's just how I roll. But man, I don't regret that for one second. I made the right decision. So seasons in life and pray for wisdom. And that was the one, you know, all the wrong decisions. I could go on and on and on. About the time I bought a truck sight unseen on an auction, and it was a piece of garbage. I bought it for $502.
Where did the two come in?
Well, because it was the state was doing this auction.
Yeah,
I guess I just got this thing in the mail,
right?
Because I worked at a church at the time as a youth minister, and it said, you know, the state's selling these things. I don't know why they were telling me. But we have all these trucks. You know, if you want to bid, you can. And so I bid 502 on all the trucks.
No, it's just like, so I'm like, hey, Price is Right.
I'll make some money. I'll turn around and sell it.
Yeah.
Because I'm in on this state auction that nobody else knows about.
Sure.
So I thought, well, if one comes through, and sure enough, I got a notice, like, you have purchased a Dodge Rampage. Like, sweet. That sounds awesome. 500. And I thought 502 because I thought 500. No. Someone else would say 500.
Yeah,
I'll go to 501.
That's what
and I
said.
Thought. No, someone else will do 501.
It's the Price is Right theory. Yeah.
Exactly. It was on the other side of the state, so I drove 3.5 hours to get there and pick it up, and it wasn't even really a truck. A Dodge Rampage is like a baby El Camino.
Rolling like Starsky and Hutch.
And that thing, a baby one.
Oh, Brant.
And that thing could barely get back home. I barely got it back home. Sat it in front of the house, and it was a rusty little baby El Camino.
Oh, no. And you couldn't even drive it just to use it?
I couldn't drive. I needed to get it licensed, but the state then lost all the paperwork.
Oh,
and I'm like,
boy.
But you guys sold it to me. Well, in the meantime, I let it go. Like, well, I'm not going to worry about it now. Well, then finally, like, the neighbors called the cops on us because the car was just dilapidating in real time. It wasn't moving. Like, now the tires are going flat. Everything is okay. So I went out to start it up. It wouldn't start.
Yeah.
Well, now they told me it's because if you leave gas in the carburetor, it was one of those cars, long enough, it separates, and so it destroys the engine. So I told my wife, we're doing this to make money.
Yeah.
I ended up selling it for $25 to the junkyard.
It's a little less than what you paid.
But it cost $50 to tow it to the junkyard.
Brant.
For a net loss of minus $500. So, my life is littered with stupid decisions.
Right.
Make no mistake. Really dumb ones. But that one.
Yeah.
That one I made was really awesome.
Yeah.
Can't get it back, man. Seasons. There's times for this. There's times for that. Says it in Ecclesiastes. So enjoy the stage you're in. I'm like, it does not get any better than this. I told one of the guys at the marriage conference who helped organize it, he had three of his kids in the back seat. So sweet. But I don't know. They're like five, you know, four, five, and seven or something. And I told him, like, dude, this is as good as it gets. It does not get better than this. Enjoy it. Don't be thinking the next stage is going to be awesome or maybe it'll get better if I can just fight through this. Like, yeah, the next stage will be awesome, but it doesn't get better. Like, enjoy what you got right now. There's seasons in life. It's good. And you're making a good decision if you have time to waste with those kids.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or Brant's book, Undefendable, go to BrantHanson.com.